You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. Today's program, we are talking about prostate cancer. September is National Prostate Health Month. Our guests are CCRTD professor and executive director, Dr. Shafiq Khan, also urologist Dr. Daryl Carman, and cancer survivor Rudy Morgan. You can join this conversation with your questions by calling us now at 404-880-9255. You can also join us on Twitter at CCRTD. Cancer survivor, I love to say that. Rudy Morgan, thanks for joining us and sharing your story. As we talk about prostate cancer, we talked about the genetic factor. Did you know before your diagnosis, did you have prostate cancer in the family?
My brother and I were diagnosed with prostate cancer at the same time in different cities.
Really?
Which is irony. And, you know, earlier we gave some statistics about 1 in 7 in the general population. Mm-hmm. In the African American community, it's 1 in 5. But when there is a family history, it's 1 in 3.
My goodness.
Which was very interesting.
Were you and your brother aware of a family history? Or did that come? Was that something you learned?
We knew that our father died of liver cancer. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he had prostate cancer. It may have metastasized to his liver. We really are not mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. We knew he had some urological problems. I mean, he always complained about not being able to start and stop his urine and, you know, mm-hmm. some of the symptoms that perhaps the doctors and Dr. Khan can talk about.
That's right.
The other side of the coin is the treatment. My brother and I, being diagnosed at the same time, chose two different treatment options. As I mentioned earlier, I chose robotic surgery. He actually chose seed implants. And our course outcome has been the same. His PSA is 0 with seed implants. Uh-huh. My PSA immediately went to 0 after robotic surgery. So, you know, a lot depends on what people choose. He
yes.
chose seed implants because of his job. He was self-employed. He didn't want to miss mm-hmm. any time from mm-hmm. work. So that was the right therapy for him. So there are a lot of treatment options out there for men. You know, one of the fears that men have is sexual dysfunction.
Absolutely.
And it was never an issue with me. And mm-hmm. I always like to say when I go out and do talks about prostate cancer to mm-hmm. our community is to let guys know, at least in my case, the plumbing's working and Viagra's on deck.
Well, all right then. All is well in Rudy Morgan's life. Fantastic. That's important, though, because a lot of men are concerned about sexual function afterward. Let's take a call now. We're taking your call. If you have a question about prostate cancer, call us now, 404-880-WCLK. Kathy in Marietta is on the line. Hello, Kathy.
Hi there. As women, we're taught to look for certain early signs before we go for mammograms, if we have certain irregularities. I heard the survivor, and I'm grateful that he is a survivor, talk about how his father had an issue with frequent urination. But I'm wondering, what should we be telling our husbands, our significant others, to look for? Are there other things that, if they're out of whack, could be a sign of possibly early prostate cancer?
Excellent question, Kathy. Thank you. Dr. Carman, some signs, some things that we should look for, or if we hear the men in our life complaining of, we should urge them to get to a doctor. What signs?
Well actually, most times, early stage prostate cancer is it's a silent disease. So that's why the screening process is so important.
Okay.
That's the most important part. It's a silent disease. You should know your family history, and you should visit the doctor and have that discussion. Now, in terms of signs and symptoms of prostate disorders, because enlarged prostate and prostate cancer can have some of the same symptoms, straining to urinate, getting up a lot at night to urinate, seeing blood in your urine,
mm-hmm.
Those type things, it's not specific to a cancer per se, but it's just there's some disorder in the prostate and warrants further evaluation.
And you need to get to a doctor if you see those. Dr. Khan?
Yeah, I think that what Dr. Carman was saying, most of the time in the early stages, you have no symptoms whatsoever, and that is when you want to catch the disease.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to catch it later, so you don't wait for any signs.
Yes.
Once you get to that age and if you have family history, then you better try to find out early enough, because once the signs appear, it sometimes is too late.
Mm-hmm. So it's about prevention and taking care of yourself, and regular checkups will allow you to catch that early. We have another call from Lithonia. Sylvester is on the line. Hello, Sylvester. Hello.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, go ahead with your question. Thanks for calling Your Health Connection.
Yeah, my question was related to loss of sexual function. If you have, say, complete removal of the prostate as well as your choice for treatment.
Wonderful. Good question. Sexual function afterward. Do most men bounce back sexually? Because this is a major fear and prevents a lot of men because they don't want to go to the doctor, they don't want to hear it. They're almost thinking, if you don't know, it's better. But really, it's always better to be in control of your health to the extent that you can.
That's true. So probably half, a little over half, the men will notice some change in sexual function. There are various treatment options. There's oral medicine, the pills that were the blue pill, et cetera, penile injection therapy, vacuum device, implant, surgical implant. I tend to mention prostate cancer the same way as women usually are having the discussion with breast cancer. They know going into that, first, this is a life-threatening problem that we need to get a handle on. That's first. Mm-hmm. So number one, this is a cancer. Women going with breast cancer, they understand they may have just a small surgery, a lumpectomy. They may have chemo, possibly radiation, along with that possible total reconstruction of their breast.
Mm-hmm. There's a range of options.
There's a range. And so you have to think about, first, what are we trying to accomplish here? Mm-hmm. And I tell men, we can observe this, not do anything. You just run the risk of it progressing. And then that's a whole different and not so pleasant discussion. So that's unfortunate.
Right. Dr. Khan, in your experience, have you seen men after they get that initial visit to the doctor, they're more apt to continue going to the doctor? Is it just getting there that first time that is usually the difficulty?
Well, I think that as Dr. Carmen is saying, it also depends on the stage of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
If it is very early on and if you do robotic surgery and you remove that piece of prostate, you may leave everything else intact.
Yes, yes.
But if it is the disease is a little more spread and you have to take a bigger chunk of prostate or all of the prostate, then you may damage some nerves in that area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as Dr. Carmen said, you are trying to save a life.
Right, right.
And
right.
That's the most important part of it.
And that quality of life, though, that return of sexual function is important. It's an important question.
It is an important thing, and I think mm-hmm. that the current surgical procedures, and especially robotic surgery, they are becoming more and more precise, mm-hmm. and they are getting less and less side effects. But still, you have to keep in mind that you have cancer, and that can kill people.
Yes.
So you're trying to treat that.
Let's get to that first.
Yeah, so you want to be alive first. And then
and then we can address sexual function after you're back and healthy. Greg in Fayetteville is on the line. Hello, Greg. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Well, I've been recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I have a great bunch of doctors, and I've decided to go through radiation therapy. I start in about a week or so. But my question is, what about the people that can't afford the insurance to go through a surgery or radiation therapy? How do they get funding for this?
This is such a great question, because the question of insurance is a real question for many people, because now you're getting at access. Now you're getting to what are your true options? What can you afford? Let's first talk about, Dr. Carmen, the usual treatment available. Is it surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation? Is that normally, if it is indeed cancer, that those are your treatment options?
For cure, surgery versus radiation are the two treatment options for cure.
Mm-hmm.
There is cryotherapy, which is freezing the prostate, which is another, and some newer modalities, HIFU, high-intensity focused ultrasound, that's another, and actually active surveillance to actually watch the cancer in the appropriate patient, that's another option as well. So all those are, there's several options.
Rudy, I want to ask you, because you said you and your brother had two different treatment options, and insurance factored into what insurance would cover, what options were available to you. You even said you changed doctors so that you could get the PSA screening that you were seeking. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I may have had a little advantage than the average person. You know, my background being on the administrative side of healthcare, I had a lot of information in front of me. I mm-hmm. read several books, you know, which is extremely important. I also brought my wife with me as well to see both doctors so that we could get two perspectives, because too often men say, this is my disease, and she doesn't need to be involved.
Is there embarrassment around that, or do you think it's just trying to handle it?
I think it's just the nature of us guys, you know, mm-hmm. and the importance. And I was glad a woman called earlier, because we need to get women involved to mobilize their men, because prostate cancer not only affects the man, but it infects the entire family.
Well, this is true, right? Of all types of cancers, any types of illnesses, you're never in it by yourself.
Right.
And you have support. Right. And we women want to be supportive. Right. You know, so it's good to always have an advocate come with you to the doctor. Did you find that helped with the processing of the information out of that appointment?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It helped me tremendously because we were able to sit back and talk about it. And actually, our urologist encouraged that kind of discussion, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed that thing. But back to your question, though, in terms of choice, the reason why I personally chose robotic surgery, based on the information that I gleaned, I thought that I had the best chances of having some sexual activity as a result of that.
Okay.
As the doctor mentioned earlier, you know, there is risk of sexual dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, my reading told me that there was going to be less problems and that the robotic surgery was more of a nerve sparing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw a demonstration at a meeting of the robot, and I was just amazed at how well. I mean, the surgeon's hands don't move 360 degrees, but when you look at a robotic arm moving 360 degrees, it was just quite astounding.
And for all listening, the robotic surgery, Dr. Carmen, can you speak to robotic surgery is about the use of technology now, doing what the human hand, it allows you to be more accurate. Can you talk about robotic surgery just for a second for those listening who are wondering, what exactly is robotic surgery?
But I would like to go back to the question,
Dr. Kahn,
caller's
yes.
question, because if somebody doesn't have insurance, can you tell the caller what are the options first before mm-hmm. you go to robotics?
Well, if he's had a biopsy with the diagnosis of any type cancer, usually in this city, I usually recommend that they go to Grady Hospital. They're good at plugging in them into the system and finding out what resources are available to them,
mm-hmm.
so the person does not feel like they're in this alone.
So no matter where they are with their insurance coverage, you advise really
yes.
doing that to see what your insurance covers and therefore what your options are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. So that's an important thing. No matter what kind of insurance, whether you have a private insurance or whether you're covered under a public plan, that's really the way to go. And in Atlanta, that would be mm-hmm. Grady. But going to your public hospital or some source where you can check what your options are. 404-880-9255 for you to join our conversation and your questions about prostate cancer. We were also discussing for a second there robotic surgery as one of the options and the use of technology in treating. So if you should find that your insurance does cover an option where robotic surgery can be used, how is that allowing you to be more accurate in treating a patient?
Yeah, so I'm a robotic surgeon as well. I totally agree that it's more accurate. Actually, the magnification, and it's really robotic assisted surgery. It's not a robot, because some people, they actually think it's a robot doing the surgery and there's not
well, that's
a
why
human
I asked.
Involved.
It did sound a little bit bionic, you know? It sounded like a film.
So it's really robotic assisted. And what it does is, one, it's magnified 25 to 30 times normal vision. So actually, it's just like looking at the prostate under a big TV screen. So
interesting.
You can be very precise in terms of where you move the robotic arms in terms of trying to nerve spare, preserve continence for in terms of urinary leakage. Mm-hmm. So it minimizes the bleeding as well. As I said, because it's magnified so much, you get a chance to really see a lot better than you would with the naked eye.
And that accuracy Rudy was talking about, preserving sexual function is a little more possible because you're avoiding nerves or you're able to have a little more protection around the nerves?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Is it. Dr. Khan, any more to add on that in terms of treatment options?
No, I think that's what it is. But as I said before, it depends on the disease. You know, if it already involves some of those nerves and mm-hmm. some of those areas which you cannot avoid, then I guess the priority is to get the cancer out.
Absolutely. Priority number one is to get well. Rudy, I want to come back to you because this is important for all of the women listening and for the men who want to support as partners. And well, we all need a support system. And you mentioned bringing your wife to your appointments to help with gathering information. Because I know sometimes, you know, well, I think this is true, doctors, you know, when you hear cancer, when you're the patient, you're the person that hears cancer, you don't hear much else after that. You know, you need someone there to help you remember, recall, review what exactly was said. Rudy, can you talk a little bit about the importance of having someone with you at the appointments? Don't try to do all of this on your own.
Well, that's an important point. As a matter of fact, we at the Georgia Prostate Cancer Coalition are in the very early stages of trying to develop a program geared at women. Because we realize that we have got to mobilize the women as mm-hmm. much as mm-hmm. women have been mobilized to fight breast cancer, that we think we can make a difference. We can do all the screening in the world, but
sure.
we really need to bring the family involved in this. And we think the women are involved in scheduling the dental appointments for the kids and
mm-hmm.
school physicals
mm-hmm.
and all those other things.
That's right.
So our philosophy is let's just add the prostate screening aspect to it.
Yes.
Women go in and get their pap smear annually. Mm-hmm. We've got to encourage men to get screened. We're talking about a curable disease.
And that's the thing. There's hope. This is curable. And that's the reason we're doing this show. September is National Prostate Health Month. That is the reason we're stopping here on Your Health Connection to talk about this, because this is actually preventable. You can do something about this. 404-880-WCLK. Lonnie in DeKalb is on the line. Hello, Lonnie. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, how you feeling? I have a twofold question. One is I had a PSA of 3. My doctor recommended that I did a biopsy. I did that biopsy, but they were recommending that I come in every 6 months to continue doing a biopsy. That's the first question.
Okay. And you want to know how often you should get checkups, or you're trying to ask if that's usual?
Well, the second question may be related. The second question is, mm-hmm. because I went to another doctor, they told me based on age and health, there is generally a cutoff time that they may be, when they may not do biopsies with certain men.
Okay, we'll take a look at that. Thank you, Lonnie, so much for your question. Dr. Carmen.
So a PSA of 3 typically is in normal range, unless there's a couple of, when looking at PSA, there's 3 different ways. There's traditional, which 0 to 4, if you fall outside of that parameter, it's abnormal. There's age specific, and someone in the age of 40 or less, a PSA of 2.5 would be considered abnormal. And then there's PSA velocity. So PSA velocity, if your PSA has for several years been 1 and then it goes to 3, that would trigger a biopsy. A 1-point rise in PSA per year is significant.
Mm-hmm. That alerts you right
yes.
there, because you should not see that kind of increase,
yes.
right?
So that's one thing about the PSA of 3. The biopsy every 6 months, what they're suggesting is that you get a PSA blood test every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not biopsy, no.
Okay, so that's important, Lonnie. And for everybody listening, that is exactly why we were talking about having someone with you, just so that you can help, you know, manage all that information. It's so easy to mix up these terms, you know. I can understand what Lonnie's going through. So ask those questions, Lonnie, of your doctor, and it's something we will all note to ask our doctors.
So, yeah, and I don't know what was the result of those biopsies. You know, we don't know
True.
If there was anything wrong in those biopsies or they were just normal, and now they just want to follow the PSA. if that's the case, that there's not much to worry about.
Uh-huh. And it's important to know you can be in control of this. It is something that we can do something about. Let's talk a minute about prevention. 404-880-WCLK. You can call and ask your questions about prostate cancer. 404-880-9255. Rudy, let me talk to you a little bit about the care for yourself. Would you consider yourself before your diagnosis, you paid attention to your nutrition? Were you exercising? Do you think you were in relatively good health and surprised by the diagnosis? Or do you look back now and say, I probably could have done a couple things differently?
I probably could have changed my diet a little differently, but I think more of the genetics played a role in myself and my brother's diagnosis. Yes, I mean, I played tennis 3 or 4 times a week. I mean, prostate cancer is just one of those kinds of things that you don't know you have it, which is why screening is so important.
Yes.
At the Georgia Prostate Cancer Coalition this year, we will probably screen about 3,000 people.
Amazing. That's good.
And that's still not enough, considering the high incidence of prostate cancer just alone in this community here in the greater Atlanta area. It's just
there's always more we can do. Dr. Kahn, you had some more to add on the importance of that. I know at CCRTD, you're always reaching out.
I think that Dr. Carmen said earlier, you can change your diet. You can live a healthy lifestyle. You can do everything, but you can't change your family history. You can't change your genetics, and you cannot change, you know, being African American, for example.
Sure.
So there are risk factors which you can change, but if you have bad genes and bad genetics,
then
nothing will. I mean, may delay it for a few years, but it will show up sooner
absolutely
or later. So I think that's why you have to be proactive about this and not sit and wait for any symptoms or anything like that. Now, you can't complain that, you know, I was perfectly healthy and I was doing everything right, but I still got cancer. Now, that is, you know, that was something in your genetics.
Mm-hmm. That was just something genetic, exactly. 404-880-9255.
You know, one of the things, the fact that my brother and I were diagnosed at the same time, my brother has a son and I have a son. Mm-hmm. My son, I encouraged to get a baseline. Now, he's 38 now, but at age 35, with our family history,
yes,
I have encouraged, and my son has been on an annual basis since 35, he's been getting a PSA screening. And so I've also encouraged my brother to talk to his son as well.
Yes.
So that we can follow this thing.
Because the genetics are there, and that's not something you want to ignore.
And don't forget the age factor. Because, I mean, the prostate cancer is a disease that if you live long enough, you're going to get it. So most people die with prostate cancer. They don't die of prostate cancer. So it's a disease which is very slow growing, and it will happen if you are older. And so that age is a big factor too.
We got to pay attention to that. We're taking your questions and calls about prostate cancer right now at 404-880-9255. From Conyers, Rich is on the line. Hello, Rich. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I was wondering about the age 87. I don't seem to have too much of a problem. Excuse me. Is Buck here?
Oh, he's on the radio. I guess they didn't realize he was on the radio. Go ahead, Rich. And you were saying you were age 87?
Yes. So I'm just wondering, I just go ahead and deal with it, and that's it, huh?
Well, if you don't have it until now, then I would not worry too much about it. I mean, but you know, if you're looking at statistics, and if you look at the 80-year-old man, I think 1 in 4 will have it.
So it
starts going. The older you get, statistics goes more and more towards almost everybody getting it. But if you're 87 and you don't have it and you have no problems, then I would not worry about it. I mean, I don't know, Dr. Carmen.
would they treat men at that age?
Dr. Carmen, is that a realistic age to still expect good treatment?
This is a great question. I have men that every day walk into my office. They're in the 80s and some in their 90s. So I look at this could be the guy that's going to live to 115. So I don't want to be. I don't want to hinder that. So, but to answer your question, I would have a PSA done every other year, every third year, just to know what the blood test is. If it's five or six, and that's a little high, I still may not biopsy.
Yeah.
But now if it's 50 or 500, that's something that's significant. It may warrant. Now, you don't necessarily need a surgery or radiation, but there's medication that we can put you on. You can put people in remission up to 20 years. I've been in practice 22 years. I inherited another physician's practice. I am still giving some of his patients hormone therapy 20 years later.
Yeah.
So.
And I think also the treatment options will also depend on what's your general health. I mean, if you are a healthy 87 and you have no problems, you may be treated differently than if somebody is not very healthy.
That's right. Thanks so much for your question, and we wish you good health. This is the importance of taking control of your health. This is Your Health Connection on WCLK. We're taking your calls at 404-880-WCLK.
This announcement, in the interest of public health, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Is your annual inspection pass due? Regular checkups by your doctor are the key to finding health problems early. 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer. If you have a father or brother who has had it, your chances of getting the disease are even greater. If you are a man over the age of 40, schedule an appointment today and discuss whether testing for prostate cancer is right for you. More information is available at ccrtd.cau.edu.